Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and ClassicFM.com. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website thefactsite.com. Question number one. The first Roman calendar was only made up of 10 months. Which month was November in that ancient calendar? Was it A, the first month, B, the sixth month, C, the 10th month, or D, none of the above? November. Which month was that on the first Roman calendar? And question number two, a rather unusual spectacle occurs in various parts of the world, including Australia, the U.S., and England, every year in November. The spectacle is called Movember. Why is it called that? Is it A, because the spectacle involves people moving together in dance? Is it B, because the spectacle involves growing a mustache for charity? Is it C, because the spectacle involves contributing money to DJs? Or is it D, because the spectacle involves a marching band competition? Movember. Why that name? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote unquote, is the weekend of November the 4th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1814 that Adolphe Antoine Sax, the inventor of the saxophone and saxotromba, was born. 1814 today. And it was 168 years ago today, 1854, that composer John Philip Sousa was born in Washington, D.C. Sousa was known for his military compositions, including the Washington Post March, the American March King Born on this day, back in 1854. And finally in transitions, Carly Simon singing Nobody Does It Better in a tribute to her siblings. The article title, Carly Simon Mourns Sisters. This is published in People Magazine on the 7th of November 2022 by Rachel DeSantis. Musician Carly Simon is filled with sorrow after her two sisters, opera singer Joanna Simon and Broadway composer Lucy Simon, died just one day apart. Their loss will be haunting, the You're So Vain performer 77 said in a statement. As sad as this day is, it's impossible to mourn them without celebrating the incredible lives that they've lived. Joanna, 85, died of thyroid cancer in a Manhattan hospital on October 19th. And Lucy, 82, died in her home in Piermont, New York, of breast cancer on October 20th, the next day. Born in New York City to Richard L. Simon, co-founder of the publishing giant Simon & Schuster, and his wife Andrea, the sisters established themselves in their own ways. After Lucy and Carly recorded three albums as the folk duo, the Simon Sisters, Lucy produced two Grammy-winning children albums and went on to become just the third female composer in Broadway history, earning a Tony nomination for the score to 1991's The Secret Garden. Joanna, meanwhile, made her New York City opera debut in 1962 and continued performing through the 80s, later becoming an Emmy and Emma-winning correspondent for PBS's McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, as well as the late-life companion of Walter Cronkite. We three sisters were who not only took turns blazing trails and making courses for one another, added Carly in her tribute. We were the co-keepers of each other's memories. Taylor Swift, The Lucky One, introduces our country music news. It's entitled, Taylor Swift Announces Next Tour, and it will include her country hits. This is written by Cindy Watts and published in CMT.com, November the 1st, 2022. Taylor Swift revealed her next tour Tuesday morning, and since its theme reflects her whole musical journey, country music fans can bet they'll get to hear a few of her early country hits like Our Song or Love Story. Dubbed the Eras Tour, Swift will launch the journey on March the 18th in Glendale, Arizona at State Farm Stadium. The 27-date tour includes stadiums in Nashville, Las Vegas, Arlington, Texas, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Los Angeles, where the U.S. run concludes on August the 5th. I'm enchanted to announce my next tour, Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, a journey through the musical eras of my career, past and present. The first leg of the tour will be in stadiums across the U.S., with international dates to be announced as soon as we can. Tickets for the U.S. leg of the tour go on sale at 10 a.m. local time, November the 18th. How you disappeared. They took the money and your dignity and got the hell out.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's titled, Louis Armstrong's Black and Blues. This is published in People magazine, November the 7th, 2022. It's a documentary launched on Apple TV on October 28, 2022. The legacy of the jazz trumpeter is enormous. He introduced scat singing into popular music, and his playing and personality shone with what trumpeter Wynton Marsalis calls a transcendent joy. This is a fine film biography packed with great songs.
People going by, I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love
And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Cat Piano Videos Are Good for Your Health. A scientific study says so. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 28th of September, 2020, by Jylee McDonald. A survey of nearly 7,000 internet users revealed that watching cute cat videos is good for our health. Feeling bad about not practicing? Guilty about music theory-based procrastination? Or perhaps you just want to feel better about the world in general? A scientific study says that internet cats could be for you. Exhibit 1. A video about a cat who loves to sleep in a piano. Back in 2015, Jessica Myrick, an assistant professor of media at Indiana University, surveyed 6,795 internet users and tested associations between personality traits, past behavior, and viewing cat-related media online. Her study correlates viewing internet cats, our motivations for consuming this media, and its potential effects on viewers. For example, Winslow, a 7-year-old tabby cat, plays the piano when he wants food. What potential effect does Winslow have on you? In an article about her findings, Myrick highlights the keyboard cat as one of the internet's most viral videos. It's great that the magic of cats and pianos is now supported by empirical data. Myrick claims her study showed that cat videos can positively influence the emotions of viewers. She says the pleasure gained from watching feline films can often outweigh the guilt of procrastination. People in my study reported experiencing more positive emotions and having higher energy levels after watching cat videos than before. They also reported lower levels of negative emotions after viewing online cat-related content, the professor said. So, if you're feeling guilty about not practicing, you know what to do.
Every mistake we must surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
George Harrison singing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, while Eric Clapton plays the guitar. In this article entitled, Patty Boyd, My Life as a Rock and Roll Muse, the woman who inspired the Beatles, Something, and Eric Clapton's Layla, is sharing intimate photos and memories from her starry past. This is written by Jordan Runtog, published in People magazine on the 7th of November, 2022.
You were invited. No one alone.
This might be the most famous love triangle in music history. In one corner, guitar hero Eric Clapton. In another, his best friend, George Harrison of the Beatles. Between them, Patti Boyd, the fashion model whose style and beauty helped define the UK's swinging 60s. Her name is forever linked with the song she stirred her famous former husband to write, Harrison's Something, and Clapton's Layla on Wonderful Tonight. Now she's sharing her own timeless art. Her new book, Patti Boyd, My Life in Pictures, showcases her formidable talent as a photographer and her unique perspective on an era's intersection of music, fashion, and spirituality. Available in the U.S. on December 20, the treasure trove includes 300 images from her personal archive, offering an intimate portrait of rock legends, or as she calls them, old friends. Boyd's camera skills were honed by years spent on the other side of the lens. She began modeling in 1962 and soon graduated to glossy, high-profile magazine spreads, TV ads. Then in early 1964, she was offered a bit part in the Beatles film, A Hard Day's Night. The band's humor quickly put her at ease, says Boyd, 78. I just fell for them. The feeling was mutual for George Harrison, who jokingly proposed to her moments after they met. But Boyd had a boyfriend, thus putting her on a short list of women who have turned down a Beatle. When they soon met again, the boyfriend was out of the picture. She agreed to a date, and within 2 years they were married. Sadly, their relationship mirrored that of the Beatles, who had drifted apart by the late 1960s. He would be angry at home, shouting about the band and how everything was dreadful, she recalls, and he started to distance himself from me. That's when she grew close to Clapton, then a member of Cream. She first noticed him during one of the band's concerts. I thought, my God, Eric's rather tasty. Clapton became besotted with Boyd and began secretly sending her passionate letters. When these failed to win her over, he played Boyd a new song he'd written for her, Layla. Though profoundly moved by this epic ode to unrequited love, she was rather nervous about Harrison hearing this song that was obviously about her. But George and I were going in different directions. Her husband's infidelities were becoming more frequent and less discreet, and Boyd left him for Clapton in 1974. Harrison's response was shockingly good-natured. He said, I'm glad you're going off with Eric instead of some idiot. George started to playfully refer to himself as the quote-unquote husband-in-law, and the three celebrated Christmas together that year. Just because things didn't work out as we planned, it didn't diminish our love for each other, says Boyd, who married Clapton in 1979. Harrison dropped in on Boyd shortly before his death in 2001. It was lovely to see him, but I knew he wasn't well, she remembers. As they walked in the garden, he noticed a few stray flowers shaking in the breeze. The flowers are shivering, he said, an observation that she says stuck with her. Only George would think flowers shiver. It was the last time they saw each other. Boyd and Clapton divorced in 1989, but their relationship remains warm. They crossed paths earlier this year and exchanged hugs, and the song he wrote for her still fills her with pride whenever she hears it. It's thrilling, she says. It's my song.
I went on the search for something true. I was almost there when I found you.
The Avid Brothers, February 7, introduces our local music news. It's titled why one of the Avett brothers recorded a solo tribute album in a bunch of random hotel rooms. This is published in the Charlotte Observer on October 25, 2022, by Theoden Janes. Unless you have a fairly strong familiarity with contemporary folk artists of the American Midwest, you might look at the title of Concord native Seth Avett's solo album, Seth Avett Sings Greg Brown, due to be released on November the 4th, and wonder, who is Greg Brown? The 42-year-old co-founding member of the Avett Brothers isn't alarmed or bothered by that at all. I think my go-to is more kind of surprised when people do know him, Avett said in a recent Zoom call from California, where he and his older brother Scott and their band recently wrapped a string of dates supporting Willie Nelson on the Outlaw Music Festival tour. Not that Greg is completely unknown to my mind. He's one of the greatest living songwriters. He's one of the greatest of the last four decades. So when people say that they're unfamiliar with his work, it's just fuel for the fire. It's a reminder that this did make sense to share, because it's exciting to be a bridge, to possibly help be an introduction of something good into someone's life. Brown, who released more than 30 albums between the mid-70s and 2012, is now 73 and living in his home state of Iowa. Seth Avett spoke to the Charlotte Observer earlier this month about the arc of his relationship with Brown and his music, about the quirks involved with recording the majority of the 10-track tribute in hotel rooms alone while on tour with the Avett Brothers, and about including on the album a colorful snippet of his young son that was recorded at his home in North Carolina.
Upon the darkness I was trapped, and as the last of breath was drawn from me, light broke in and brought me to my feet.
Question: how did you find out about Greg Brown in the first place? It was completely my father discovering him on NPR's A Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor. In the mid-90s, I was about 15. Greg was actually a full-on member of the Prairie Home Companion cast back in the 80s. But yeah, Dad heard him on a Prairie Home Companion, heard that song Boomtown, and then it was just on for me. 'Cause then I heard Brown's song Laughing River, and then, oh, I gotta find everything this guy's done. Question: are you excited now to play these songs live? Alongside the album release on November 4, Avett will open the Avett Brothers show at Brooklyn, New York's King's Theater with a Greg Brown-centric set. I am, yeah. Recording those songs was such a solitary sort of journey, but if you listen to his live recordings, you can see that these songs, they really make sense in a communal space. So I think it's high time to take these songs out of the solitary space and really share them in real time. When to see the Avett Brothers in Charlotte next? That's on New Year's Eve show at Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question? The first Roman calendar was only made up of 10 months. Which month was November in that ancient calendar? Was it A, the first month, B, the sixth month, C, the tenth month, or D, none of the above? Correct answer? Answer D. As noted in thefactsite.com, November's name has remained unchanged since the ancient Roman calendar, which was in use until 45 BC. This first Roman calendar was only made up of 10 months, with November being the ninth month. November actually translates rather appropriately into ninth month in Latin. When the Julian calendar was adopted in 45 BC, two new months were added, which pushed November back to the ninth. Despite its change in position, November was never renamed. And the answer to our second question, a rather unusual spectacle occurs in various parts of the world, including Australia, the U.S., and England every year in November. It's called Movember. Why is it called that? Is it A, because the spectacle involves people moving together in dance? Is it B, because the spectacle involves growing a mustache for charity? Is it C, because the spectacle involves contributing money to DJs? Or is it D, because the spectacle involves a marching band competition? Correct answer. Answer B, it's a spectacle involving mustaches. As noted in the factsite.com, Movember is a rather hairy spectacle that occurs in various parts of the world, including Australia, the U.S., and England, every year in November. It's called Movember, and the idea is to raise money for charity by growing a mustache. Participants must shave on the first morning of November and grow their mustache throughout the month, with the ensuing amusement as an incentive for others to donate to a good cause. It's also interesting to note that William Shakespeare apparently wasn't all too fond of November. Hailed as one of the all-time greatest writers of English literature, Shakespeare wrote 154 sonnets and 37 plays, which are still in production today. In all of the works that Shakespeare wrote, the month of November isn't mentioned a single time. Well, welcome to November. So let's close out today's program with November Rain.
Your eyes, I can see a lovely strain. But darling, when I hold you, don't you know I feel the same? 'Cause nothing lasts forever, and we both know hearts can change. And it's hard to hold a candle in the cold.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
I know it's hard to keep a